Hey, it's been almost a year since we started and like got our first podcast episode released. It was around this time last year. So happy anniversary.
That's funny.
1 year. Well, that's why I think our goal is to get this sixth one out around now to say we
Right.
averaging one every 2 months.
It's not awful.
No, it's not bad. They're quality.
Their quality, yes.
Hey, it's DJ and Michelle. Here is your personal awakening podcast.
It's time to step into now and step into you. On today's episode, we talk about having difficult conversations. We talk about asking for time and space, setting boundaries, setting intentions, letting each person talk, and the power of pausing to really process what's going on.
I've been thinking about difficult conversations that I've been having.
Yeah.
And so, and I've had quite a few. And I think the hardest part is initiating.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I play this in my head a million times before I go do it. And sometimes I talk myself out of it. Sometimes I'm trying to feel the room and see if it's the right time, wrong time. And I feel like there's never really a right time to have some of these conversations, especially when it's like emotionally driven. And I've also been thinking about passive aggressiveness. So some people avoid these conversations at all costs. And so they like will send text messages or leave like little notes instead of having these full-blown conversations where you can hear tone of voice, you can understand where a person's coming from, you can actually listen and ask questions and have a little back and forth. Because I don't know, I think some people are afraid of becoming too aggressive, but I also think that's sometimes needed to be direct and to the point so you can get over it and move on.
Yeah. And if you're gonna, if that person leaves a text or like a note, they probably aren't giving signs that they're upset or anything like that. So the other person's probably like, where is this coming from? And then again, if you can't hear their tone and everything, it could just lead to a massive blow up that probably doesn't need to happen if you guys, you know, can hash it out and just take time to listen to one another.
For sure. All right, DJ. So what do you think about having difficult conversations?
Yeah, so difficult conversations. I don't like them. I don't, but I'd rather have them than it bottle up, because then I explode.
And that's,
that's never a good time for anyone. I always feel awful after. And if I hurt the person's feelings, they feel awful, obviously.
Yes. It is imperative to have those conversations and to have them early on, because when you do wait, that bottling effect is so strong and can hurt the relationship more than if you were upfront when you're first feeling a certain way. Like a lot of times we don't trust ourselves that, oh man, this doesn't settle well with me. And, or we don't understand why it's not settling well. So we are afraid to talk about it because we want to understand it in our heads and have all angles and have like all sides and plan out what they're going to say and then what we're going to say again. And, you know, kind of make assumptions of how things are going to go prior, which I think most of my conversations never go the way I plan in my head.
Yeah. But I think it's good that even if you want to think about it, it may be good to initially bring it up to whoever you need to speak to, family member, partner, and just say what's bothering you, that you want time to just think about it so that you guys can have a conversation, and suggest maybe that they think about it too, so that when you come together, you both have had some thought, and try not to just jump right into it. If you really need to think about it, take that time and space and kind of set that right from the start with the person.
Yeah. Yeah, allow yourself some time and space, because that initial reaction, if it's like immediately after whatever trigger, you're going to be coming in hot, real hot.
Yeah. And telling them ahead of time gives them the time to sit with it so that they don't get blindsided when you do go to talk to them, because you had time to think it over and now you're going to blindside them with this whole thing that if they're not aware that it was bothering you, it's going to seem like out of the blue to them.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's obviously perfect scenario. It's going to go like this every time. It's not like your emotions are going to take better of you sometimes. And maybe you have a little blow up, but then you realize, you know, it's better to just be aware that if it starts to happen in the wrong way, you know, to take time to think about it and come back, you know, cooler minded.
Yeah. And I think going with the time and space, another really important part is that pause. You can pause during to process what someone's saying. So we sometimes get so defensive and reactive when we hear things we don't really want to hear. And sometimes when we know the person really well, we say the things that we know are going to hurt them. And that is, that's the worst, because as soon as it gets off your lips, you're like, I regret that. I want to pull that back, because you never want to actually hurt the person just in that moment. You're so angry and defensive. So allowing yourself to pause in between before responding, or, you know, even just asking like, hey, can I come back to you on this? I need some time to think about this. Because you don't want to just react. You want to really give it some time and thought before responding.
Yeah. I think it's also important for the person on the other end to pause while the person's speaking, and not in the sense that you're pausing and not even paying attention because you already know what you're firing back at with. It's more pause and actually listen to what they're saying to you, because that will determine what you say next. You can't already predetermine what you're going to say before they finish their sentence.
Yeah, so that planning ahead of time should go out the window, because active listening is so important. I think I see it all the time, especially with like couples that have been together for a really long time. They already kind of know what the person's going to say. And so they feel like they can just respond with the same things they always respond, and those conversations don't go anywhere, instead of engaging with the person's what they're saying and maybe ask them questions like, oh, you know, can you tell me more about how you feel about this?
Yeah.
And dive a little deeper, because if you're just getting the same responses and it's that like same argument over and over and over again, you might want to just listen a little differently and ask more questions and engage and get to the real root of it. Because a lot of times we think it's the fact that you didn't put your clothes away is really a trigger, but it's really a whole slew of things. And there's a deeper reason that you're just feeling neglected, or that you haven't felt like they really cared about you and things like that.
And I think by the active listening and letting each person talk without, you know, interrupting them and everything like that, one, it shows respect, and two, it's going to lead to not really what I would call an argument, but a conversation. And I mean, they're not always fun conversations, but that's what you have to do to work with someone, instead of this fight or this argument where you're each yelling at each other and then you apologize later on because it all set in. Like, why not skip that first step of yelling at one another? It's not going to do anyone any good. Never heard of someone yelling at each other and them being like, yeah, cool. Totally understood where you're coming from there.
That was great.
Until next time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think there are some people that enjoy conflict. And sometimes it is what makes a relationship work. I'm not one of those people, but for some reason, I think there are some dynamics where that works. But talking beyond that, yeah, I haven't seen, or I have been in any conversations where yelling back and forth felt really productive.
Yeah. And I think even when you initially go to talk to the person, even after you ask for the time and space, it's like to set your boundaries with them. What are your intentions here? You know, your intentions are to let you know, this is bothering me. I need 2 days to process this before we can talk. And once we're talking, I want to take turns, like so forth, whatever the boundaries may be, set them now so that whoever you need to talk to is like, okay, this is what's going to happen. I understand where the situation is drawing from. I mean, if they're really confused, then yeah, you got to kind of give them a little bit. Like, what are we going to be talking about in 2 days? Like, give them something.
Yeah. And this goes across the board. It doesn't necessarily have to be, I know a lot of times, like thinking about arguments and tough conversations, thinking about like relationships and like close, intimate relationships, but this extends to even your business relationships, is setting those ground rules and those boundaries from the start of like, how is this interaction going to go? You know, I really want to listen to you and take time. And if you can listen to me, you know, and listen to me before you respond again, that'd be great. Just kind of allowing that turn-taking rules ahead of time is really important. And yeah, I think the boundary setting can also be around, like you said, like the time before, like the time you need to take, because a lot of times when we're feeling some certain time away, we need that diffusion, or it's like, I need you to not be in contact with me for the next day so I can really sort things out myself. And those boundaries are really hard to ask for, and also really hard for people who love you to accept, especially when people get anxious about losing you. So respecting other people's boundaries too, and not jumping to conclusions that means it's over, or that, you know, there's no coming back from that situation.
I think that's where a lot of people react out of fear. Like you said, like I have I've been working on it, but I have a person like leaving you issue that stems back from, you know, when I was a kid and the thing that happened with my father and him walking out. You know, I know it stems from that, and I've worked on that through the years now. But it doesn't mean that I don't have my moments where, you know, an argument happened. I'm just like, well, now this person's going to walk out of my life. You know, I'm going to lose them all over again, like just from this stupid fight.
Yeah. And I often want everybody to like me, and I don't want to like harm any relationships. I always want to be accepted by this person. And sometimes I'll avoid conversations in which I've already assumed that by having this conversation that I will no longer be accepted in their life, which is often untrue. And if it is true, then that means that this relationship isn't for me. If I can't have this conversation, if I can't bring up tough topics, then, you know, this is not a healthy relationship at all. And it's probably better off if it does dissolve.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the hardest thing to realize, because when you're in the relationship, you know, you think this is it. This is, you know, the relationship for me. I'm happy and everything. And then you have that first fight, and that fear starts to set in. But you need to realize, like, if that person walks out over this, I mean, as long as it wasn't something crazy that you did, if they walk out after that one little thing, you don't want to be with them for 2-3 years and then them walk out, you know, later after maybe you've gotten married or something like that. If they can't handle those more difficult times, it may not be the person you want to end up with.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a friend that you have in your life, like, you know, doesn't have to be a relationship.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, there's plenty of friendships where, man, I wish I had conversations sooner, because by the time I had that conversation with them, it was a huge weight off my shoulder and it felt great. And our relationship was able to bond and be stronger because we were both vulnerable with each other. And so, especially with like some friendships where you haven't really broken down those walls. And so you're really just trying to be accepted by them and you don't want to bring up the fact that they hurt you or that, you know, this is not going well or whatever the case is, you know, it just puts a lot of stress and you can feel that in your body a lot of times. Like when that person's in the room, you're like, man, like, oh, and then you start like wanting to like say negative things about this person. And a lot of times has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with a situation or some kind of misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're not a good person. Sometimes it just doesn't work out between people. You know, it could even happen between you and family. And that's one of the hardest things probably to swallow because that's your blood, really. And sometimes the best thing for you is to walk away, even if they are someone, you know, like I said, like your family or whatever closest friend that you, you know, was thought inseparable from you. People grow apart.
Yeah. So no matter like what the outcome of this difficult conversation, whether it's, you know, a relief, it's a stronger connection, if it's just releasing whatever that tension was for that situation, or on the other side, it could just release you from that relationship temporarily or, you know, for the long term. And all of that all of that's a release of tension. And so engaging these conversations should provide a release, whether it's immediate or in the future where you're looking back and you're like, man, like I am so glad that I had that conversation because it led me to, you know, better myself and surround myself with the relationships that really matter.
It honestly, it makes me think about this book that I'm reading called Relentless by Tim Grover, and it's a little different topic, but they talk about how they give an example of when you're at work, right? And you're the person that everyone goes to solve problems. If you realize you caused the problem and you just go try and hide it or fix it or whatever, you're putting more stress on your shoulders, right? Trying to hide that mistake that you made to try and solve the situation. Whereas if you just owned up to it and is like, hey, I effed up, this is what I'm doing to fix it. It can relate to in this way. If you just own up and say you need to have that difficult conversation, you know, as scary as it may be, that is a, like you said, a weight off your shoulders because now it's out in the open. You're going to talk about it and there's going to be a resolution afterward, as opposed to letting it sit in on you. Then something else happens and something else happens and then you absolutely explode.
Apologizing for stuff you did can be so hard, especially when you don't want to like remember the fact that you did these things. I remember I had a really hard conversation with somebody, probably one of the toughest ones I've had, where I had to I felt the need to list out all the things I had done wrong, right? And like the past year, and that ultimately had like led to this strained relationship. And I had this conversation. I wrote it out. I planned it out, took time and space, planned it out and sat there with this person. And I laid out all the things that, you know, I did wrong, apologized, laid everything out there. Mm-hmm. I got kicked out of the space they were in. They did not accept my apology. But for me, that was a huge relief in the sense that I was able to speak my truth and really grow and accept the fact that I had done something wrong and try to rectify it and move on. And I couldn't control the other person's reaction, right? And I was hurt at that moment and was lost and upset because I really cared about this person. And I didn't want to lose them in my life. But now I can look back on that moment and be proud of myself for saying these things and being honest and truthful and growing as a person. So ultimately it was great. And the time was really hard. But if I'd never done that, I would be still holding on to all those things. Yeah. 'Cause there's other relationships I can think about where I treated someone poorly and part of me just wants to go contact them after, I don't know how many years it's been, like over a decade. And I just want to be, I'm so sorry. I was an ass. I was a huge ass. You didn't deserve it. I was going through my own shit, projecting shit on you. Yeah. And so those I still hold. And yeah. I may never be able to release that because, you know, time has passed so much that it's not appropriate because that's more for me now and not that person. So I'm gonna have to just internalize and heal.
Right. I mean, two things there. You talked about not trying to control, which I think is huge because, you know, a lot of people may take the initial step as hard as it is to have that conversation, but then try and control the outcome, like say everything they want to hear, like, no. In your situation, you laid out everything you're sorry for. If they can't accept it, like, sorry. Again, sorry it all happened. But you laid it out there, and that's their prerogative to say, I can't, you know, accept this, and we need to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important to not try to like pacify things and cover it up and be like, oh, this is how I feel, but it's okay. You know, we tend to do that because we want to let someone know how we're feeling, but we don't want them to lose the severity. And when you do that, you're not preventing future situations. If something happened, if it's something they did and you're really trying to be like, hey, that's not cool with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really hard to do because I find myself wanting to stay friends and stay like on good terms no matter what. So I'll like diminish how I'm really feeling or how things really made me feel.
Yeah, I think I do that too. You know, if the person's not right in my life and maybe I'm not definitely not right in theirs, like I always try and leave it where, well, we'll be friends and everything. And there's just some people you can't be friends with. Like, they're just not, they don't mesh well with you. I wouldn't say like everyone's toxic or anything like that, but there are, again, toxic relationships that you end up in, and that stuff's just not good to have around. Or say, you know, we ended badly as boyfriend and girlfriend, but we'll be friends and like be there for one another. We've always cared. Like, sometimes it's time to walk away and walk away for good.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes those hard conversations that aren't direct enough, like, I guess that comes back to the boundary setting. Like, you're not setting clear boundaries. Like, you did this, it's not okay by me. And if you're not clear on that, then that conversation hasn't created the outcome that you need in order to, you know, make the relationship healthier.
There was some sass in that response you just gave, in that no one can see it, but your finger went up like you were Italian and everything, and like telling them how's this. No, but you're totally right. And I think basically all this sums up to making that initial step to say, hey, I need to talk to you about whatever it is, and not be scared of the outcome and not try and control it.
Yeah. And it does help, I think, if you do let the person know, like, hey, I want to talk about this, instead of in your head being like, oh, I'm going to talk to this person next time I see them. And then you feel out when the best time is, because you're probably not going to bring yourself to do it.
Yeah.
Because even sometimes these tough conversations are not bad, right? It's not an argument. It's not, sometimes it's you want to tell somebody you feel deeply about them.
Yeah. And it's not something you like text. It's something you're like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. when are you available to like, I have your full attention? Because other people have, you know, lives going on too. Just because in that moment, you're like, I need to talk to Michelle. And when I call her, she's going to answer right now, right this very second. And she's going to talk to me. No, it would be more like, hey, I need to talk to you. If you're available now, great. If not, you know, when do you have some time where we can, you know, have each other's full attention?
Yeah. Like when I try to talk to people in person or on the phone, I definitely struggle to get that going. And now I do think a lot of times I do use text message to start conversations, and it's probably not the best way because you don't get the tone. People misread. Have you ever had those conversations where you have like these like paragraphs back and forth of this like conversation that you should have had in person or at least over the phone? So it's conversational because those long ones, like then you're waiting, you know, a half an hour before that you get one response because you had to think forever to write things down. But at the same time, I am a much better writer when I think, or like I think better when I write is how I want to say it. I think better when I write. So I do like text messaging for that reason, but maybe it's better for me just take notes ahead of time, so I have it all laid out before going into something.
I guess if you really want to text the initial before maybe having an in-person conversation, you could try using the the voice message on your phone. So at least they hear your tone and they could listen to it back instead of reading a full-on paragraph too. Because I've done that a couple times now with people where an argument or anything like that, just instead of texting them, I said what I wanted to say in the voice message, and then they could hear my voice and everything like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a friend who's they were using like emails back and forth.
That's very old school.
Yeah, it was very interesting to hear. And man, I feel like it leaves a lot to be desired because you have this long email that you have to decipher and be like, ooh, like what do they really mean? So in-person conversation is always the best because you can actually feel, not only can you hear them, the intonation, but you can actually feel, you know, what's going on in the air and like the vibes and I don't know what else goes on, but you can have a better sense.
Yeah, I agree.
What's the hardest conversation you've had? Top five. So,
top five. How about I give you one? I don't think other.
It doesn't.
People...
I mean, it doesn't have to be your like hardest, but like in your top five.
I could think of the hardest conversation I had, and it's like, it's honestly not a story I tell too many people. I don't even know if I've told you it, but it was, you know, when I was 11 years old, and I think it was 11. I was pretty young. And I just remember sitting in the family room. Actually, I was laying on the floor next to the three-person sofa in between the couch and the table. Like, that's how vividly I remember it. And I remember going, like, Mom, I'm bored. And my mom goes... to my dad, why don't you go play with your son? And I like noticed tension in the voice just like that moment, and knew like when he took me out, like I was like, we're not going anywhere really to play. I feel like I'm gonna get like I just knew something was up. And we went to the park, and then he had told me like, you know, my parents were getting separated and everything like that. And I just remember sitting in the car in that moment, like not knowing what to say. I remember not wanting to deal with the like situation, didn't want to talk about anything. Obviously I was young. I haven't been in difficult conversations before, and it was a pretty deep one. I didn't understand what was going on. I just remember getting angry instead of, I wish I knew like what I know now, you know, take time and space to feel what I'm feeling, put the anger aside, understand, you know, what's happening and why. But I would say that's definitely top conversation, even though there wasn't too much of a conversation because I didn't know how to handle myself.
Right. And that's kind of different than what we've been saying, because we've been talking about us being the initiator. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we aren't, right? We have people wanting to talk to us and pulling us aside and telling us a lot of things we don't want to hear.
Right.
And how do you handle that? That's a whole nother ballgame. You can't prep for that.
Just from thinking about that, my dad did everything the opposite of we just talked about. There was no heads up about what was coming. I mean, I get I was young, so maybe he didn't know what to do in that type of a situation. But that aside, just dealing with that, like, there's no heads up. There was no boundaries really set. You know, we didn't give each other time and space. I, you know, like I said, let my emotions take, like, there's just everything that we just talked about was the opposite of that now that I'm like hearing it out loud.
Right. But we can't control how other people approach us. Right. So what can we do when we're approached to have a difficult conversation?
I think basically use what we just said for the person that's initiating as the other person on the other end. If you feel blindsided, that's where you set your boundary. You set the time and space and say, I hear you and everything, but I need to now take this in so I can come back to you with appropriate responses.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. Asking for time, space. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know now I have like a flood of thoughts of conversations that have been brought up to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, the emotions that come with it, the hot, the heat, the like queasiness, the uneasiness, the just not wanting to be in that space. It's so hard. But yeah, and so sometimes it's best is just to ask, hey, I'm my whole body's shutting down right now, so we should probably pause here. I need to go take care of myself so that way I can be fully present and digest what you just told me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at 11, I don't think that's, you know, common for emotional awareness at that age. So got to give you credit as a kid for taking it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, again, like, I don't think I could really do. Just, it happened at a young age. It happens to a lot of, that type of stuff happens to a lot of kids, unfortunately. What happens to them after that is, it's really on them, on how they handle the stress and everything. I think that's a whole different podcast though. But yeah. Yep. So I think our main points here were that you need to at least address that there is something you need to talk about with the person. And if you need your time and space and don't have the time to talk in that very moment, make sure you set it with setting those boundaries and intentions. And then when the conversation finally does happen, let each person talk. So after you've gotten your point across, if they've, you know, even if they haven't, if they've interrupted you, you make sure that you listen on the other end so they can, you know, reply back to whatever you were saying, and just pause in between, really hear what you're saying to them and what they're saying back to you.
Yeah. I agree with all of that, and have the courage to talk to people when the time is right, and then also courage to ask for space when the time is not right.
Yep. Totally agree.
Well, there you have it. I mean, we all face difficult conversations. There's definitely ways to approach them to make them a little bit easier. So we hope that these tips and tricks you can use in one of your next difficult conversations, whenever they may be, whatever it may be of, and that it helps you along the way. Now, as always, we want to introduce our favorite artist, Drew Smith, with one of his newest singles, Last Time. Hope you enjoy.
You hit me up at 3 a.m. There's an empty space inside your bed, same as the empty space you left inside of me. Now I'm walking through this city fog. It's my fucking inner monologue telling me to turn around and never look back. But I'm running up the stairs to your apartment, running past the voices in my head. Know I'm gonna leave this brokenhearted. Know this is gonna be the last time again.
I found myself at your feet.
Sheets, I've felt these walls. The bathroom's to the left, just down the hall. I dodged the creaks in your old oak floor. Then I'm gone without a sound. Need alcohol to help me drown the feelings of the failings of my heart. Now I'm running up the stairs to your apartment, running past the voices in my head. No, I'm gonna leave this broken hearted. No, this is gonna be the last time. Again.
I find myself in your feet.
Running past the voices in my head. No, I'm gonna leave this broken hearted. No, this is gonna be the last time again.
I find myself in your feet. And I'll give you everything you need. But it'll all be just fine. Cause this is the, this is the, this is the. I find myself in your feet. And I'll give you everything you need. But it'll all be just fine. Cause this is the, this is the, this is the. Cause this is the last time.
I find myself at your feet, and I'll give you everything you need. But it'll all be just fine. Cause this is the last time.